Genesis 6:19. Noah, however, found favor in the eyes of the Lord. One translation says, in the sight of the Lord. But I like the way the New International Version puts it. It says he found favor in the eyes of the Lord. I recently read this statement. It said, prophetically, the church is entering into a fresh season of favor. Favor is one of God's supernatural weapons that accomplishes his purposes in every generation. In Scripture, favor is what happens when God shows you preference. He gives you advantages that others may not get. It is when his anointing is there to open doors that would otherwise not be open. Kate McVeigh, in her book, The Blessing of Favor, Experiencing God's Supernatural Influence, defines favor this way. First of all, it is regarded or treated with favor. Secondly, it is advantages. And thirdly, it is specially privileged. Bill Johnson defines the favor of God as preferential treatment shown to somebody. It denotes acceptance, approval, and pleasure. Dr. Lance Wallnau defines the favor of God. He says, favor is the affection of God towards you that releases an influence through you so that other people are inclined to like, trust, and cooperate with you. Dr. Ronnie Floyd writes, when God grants someone his favor, he takes a keen and lively interest in that person. He watches, studies, and lovingly fixes his gaze on the one so favored. So then the favor of God is when God fixes his gaze upon you, even the details of your life. Genesis 6:9, we learn that Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. Now, I recently heard this expression or this explanation of the favor of God. I love this. Favor is when God dips you in honey so the blessings of God stick to you. Kate McVeigh gives the following acronym for the word favor. Faith activates victorious, outrageous results. Faith activates victorious, outrageous results. It is his presence that will nudge you into the blessing that he has for you. It causes even the secular world to cooperate with God's plans and agendas. It is as if he lets you borrow his cologne, and everywhere you go, you smell just like him. Favor is a supernatural force that he places on your life to catapult you to fulfill the destiny he has for you and that he has for his people. The Lord is breathing on his word, and we need to step into it, favor. And activate his favor over our lives, our children, our finances, our workplace, and our nation. So how do we activate the favor of God? How do we walk in the favor of God? How do we live in the favor of God? Is it possible for the blood-bought child of the King, the covenant child of God, to have favor over his or her life? Is it possible today? Four things I want to share with you concerning the favor of God this morning. Four things that will help you navigate the favor of God. First of all, it's through the blood of Jesus that we have the favor of God. It's through the blood. Psalms 5:12 says, for you bless the righteous, O Lord. You cover him with favor as with a shield. Favor is one of the blessings that come with righteousness. We're made righteous how? We're made righteous by the atoning blood of our Savior. Bible says, on the best day of my life, I fall short. On the holiest day of my life, I fall short. On the best day, I can't measure up. My righteousness is as filthy rags. But I don't stand here today clothed in my righteousness. I stand here today clothed in his righteousness. I was on a platform one time and getting ready to preach years ago. And I'm telling you, the enemy, he just sort of settled right up there next to me. If you don't think the enemy comes to church, and he'll get right on the platform with you sometime. I'm sitting up there getting ready, got my notes, getting ready to go to the pulpit. And the enemy says, what do you think you're doing? You hadn't prayed enough this week. You really hadn't studied the way you should have studied. You haven't prayed the way you prayed. You've been too busy this week. And for a moment, I agreed with him. I thought, man, I have been busy this week, and I probably haven't studied like I need to study. And then it stopped. I said, oh, excuse me, that's condemnation. And Romans 8:1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And I said, excuse me, devil, but I'm not standing up here clothed in my own righteousness. I don't pray enough. I don't study enough. I do fall short in the things that I do. But I'm standing here not in my own righteousness. I'm standing here clothed in the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm covered by the blood. We're made righteous through the blood. We can wash away my sins, nothing but the blood of Jesus. So that means that every person who is covered by the blood of Jesus can ask for and receive the favor of God on their lives. It's not our righteousness that qualifies us for favor. It is His righteousness. Hallelujah. Boy, it takes the pressure off. I don't have to work to earn it. I don't have to do certain things or jump through religious hoops or fulfill some man-made doctrines. No, it is through His righteousness that we're qualified for favor. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, "For our sake He made Him to be sin, who knew no sin, that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus." As you exercise faith in Jesus Christ and the finished work of the cross, you are righteous in Him. The first Passover, every household marked by the blood was delivered from the power of death. When the death angel came, and he saw the blood on the post of the door, over the doorway, the Bible said he had to pass over. That's where we get the idea that the enemy can't cross the bloodline. When the enemy comes and he sees the blood on the doorpost of your house, he says, "I have to pass over. I got to go visit somebody else." Why? Because the blood of Jesus is so powerful in our lives. What is powerful about the blood of Jesus? Well, it is atoning blood. It is saving blood. It is healing blood. It is delivering blood. And it is blood that will make you and I whole. We need this morning to be dipped in the blood of Jesus and washed clean and made whole by the precious blood of the Lamb of Calvary. That very first Passover, every household marked by blood was delivered from the powers of death. When we exercise faith in Jesus, we're marked by the blood of the ultimate Lamb of God, the one about whom John the Baptist declared in John 1:29, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." So if you're marked by His blood, and the Bible talks in Ephesians 1 about being sealed. If you go over to Revelation, the 144,000 that will come forth in the tribulation, the Bible said they were sealed in their foreheads. What is that? I believe it's the blood. When you're marked by the blood of Jesus, you are marked for blessing. I'm going to say it again. When you are marked by His blood, you are marked for blessing. Ephesians 1:3 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us." Wait a minute. Let me read that again. "Who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places." The word "blessed" there, it comes from a Greek word. It's where we get the word eulogy. It is a good spoken word. In other words, God has already blessed us. I don't have to attain God's blessings. I don't have to get God's blessings. I don't have to earn God's blessings. He's already blessed us. With what? With every spiritual blessing. Where do I get them? In the heavenly places with Christ Jesus. So God's favor can surround you, surround your family, your children, and everything you do. Secondly, I want you to note this. First, it is by the blood of Jesus. Secondly, favor will always be tested. You just thought when you graduated from school that you were done with tests. When you get saved, you become a student. You enroll in the school of the Spirit. You become a student of God's Word. Am I preaching okay? You walk through different tests. There are 15 different leadership tests that are defined in the Word of God. But there are 15 tests that you'll walk through as a leader. And I want to tell you something. When the favor of God comes on you, you will be tested. The life of Joseph is a classic example of how the favor of God works. On one hand, Joseph experienced extreme favor. But on the other hand, he experienced tremendous attack. But every time the enemy pulled him down, the Lord poured out more favor on his life. From slavery to imprisonment, to government, God lifted Joseph's head and prospered everything that he touched. Not only that, but also those Joseph served experienced God's blessing because he was with them. I want you to see that for a moment. His dad recognized the favor of God on his life early on, and he picked him out as his favorite. Gave him a coat of many colors. It provoked jealousy among his brothers. His brothers sold him as a slave into Egypt, but he wound up in Potiphar's house. And the Bible said that when he got to be into Potiphar's house as a slave, Potiphar saw the favor of God on him and put him over all the whole house. I mean, everything that Potiphar had, Joseph had, except his wife. Then she falsely accused him, and now he's in prison. You say, well, if he has the favor of God on his life, why is he in prison? It's called the law of contradictions. That's what this test I'm walking through is. It's a law of contradiction. I had two powerful words spoken over me recently. It's part of the process of God. You have to press through the testing. You have to press through the hard places. You have to press through those times of demonic attack in order to come out on the other side. Why? Because favor will always be tested. Prison. But the Bible said that the keeper of the prison, saw the favor of God on him. And God so worked it out where Pharaoh's butler and Pharaoh's cook got in the same jailhouse with him, and he interpreted dreams for them. See, God was working a plan in Joseph's life. So when you have favor, it does not mean that you will not experience challenges in your life. You will, in fact, have battles. But it means wherever you are, you will have the favor of God resting on you, blessing you, and turning your setback into a setup for his victory. It means that wherever you go, you carry the fragrant, the favor, and the dunamis energy of God to bless others. You say, well, why is it important that I walk in favor? Because favor is not about you. Favor is not so you can get the best deal at Belk's. Favor is not so that, you know, you can drive the best car in town. Favor's got nothing to do with you having an 8-bedroom home. Favor is about the assignment that God has over your life, and it's about those that you're going to touch and you're going to bless because of the favor that's on you. I don't mean that God won't give you favor in certain things and that you can't be blessed, but it will be tested. Number three, faith is for the humble. It's for the humble. The Bible says, humble yourself and you'll be exalted. See, the world tells you how to power dress, go to power lunches, how to position yourself in the right way, and that if you do that, then you're going to have favor. But the kingdom of God operates just in the exact opposite of the world. In the world, we're taught how to promote ourselves. We're taught how to promote things, how to promote our ministry, how to word things in a way to make things. See, you can spin anything and make it look good, make it sound good. But the way up with God is down. The same favor that exalted Joseph to greatness is the same favor that allowed Joseph to be broken. I'm sure after being singled out by his brothers and falsely accused by Potiphar's wife, Joseph was probably thinking, I could do without this favor. But every attack transformed Joseph into the humble vessel in whom God could entrust greater and greater levels of favor and authority. If we short-circuit the process of God, then the very promotion that God meant to exalt us and bless us will destroy us. God resists the proud, but time and time again in the Scripture, he exalts, he favors, and he gives grace to those who humble themselves. Maish Chabda writes, he said, one of our church members who works as a school bus driver was falsely accused at his job. He came to a meeting they call the watch, and he asked for prayer, and our team specifically asked the Lord to give him favor. The charges were soon found to be fabricated, and his accusers were fired. Shortly after this, he was driving a bus full of kids when one of the students pulled out a gun, walked up to him, and tried to hijack the bus. It was a volatile situation that could have resulted in great tragedy. But this young man carried the favor of God on his life. He carried the anointing of the Holy Spirit to diffuse the situation, calm all the children on his bus, and extend the authority of heaven over the plans for destruction of this troubled student. The favor of God propelled this young man from accusation to hero, and his story was headlined across the nation. We need the favor of God. It's to the humble. And I'm not talking about a false humility. I'm not talking about a flesh-generated humility. I'm talking about a true humility. What is humility? Well, the Bible says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for they shall see God. What does that mean, poor in spirit? Now, we tend to say, well, I must be blessed because I'm poor. I'm blessed because I'm poor. Poor in spirit has nothing to do with your finances, but it has everything to do with a poverty of spirit. What do I mean by that? Poverty of spirit is simply this. I recognize that without him, I can do nothing. I live and breathe and have my being because of who he is. And without him, I can do nothing. But now on the other hand, and I can't just walk around all the time in that mindset. I have to balance that with, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Without him, I can do nothing. But with his empowerment and his touch and his anointing and his grace on my life, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now listen to me, just real careful. If God has called you to do something you can do, God didn't call you. Well, I can do that. That's not a big deal. God calls you to do something that's beyond your capability, beyond your resources, beyond your intellect, beyond who you are. God calls you to do something so great for his kingdom. And by great, I don't mean numbers and budgets and all those things. But he calls you to do something so great for his kingdom that it has to have his touch on it and his miracle power in it. Otherwise, it'll fail. Because see, it's not about us. It's about him. And anything we do, we partner with God. We walk hand in hand with him. It's for the humble. How do we receive the favor of God? The blood of Jesus. What happens when the favor of God comes? Immediately you'll be tested. Fourth, and my last point is this. Favor is for a purpose. I'm just driving along. I said, Lord, I just want the favor of God so that I don't have to stop at any of these red lights up through town. Because I know if I get behind somebody, they don't understand that green means go. They think that means put your phone up, put it back in your pocketbook. Favor. We pray for favor. Lord, let me be the first in the line this morning. Let me be the first, Lord, to the starting gate. No, favor's not about me. Favor has a purpose on it. When God gives his favor, it's not just so I can live better and look better and act better and all that. It's not about me carnally getting things out of God that I want. That's not what prosperity is about. I believe in biblical prosperity. But biblical prosperity is not so I can have two boats, a motorcycle, and you know, and three cars and stuff I don't need. That's not what prosperity is about. What biblical prosperity is about is so that you and I can be a conduit for the kingdom of God and help finance the last day harvest that God helps and to send the word of the Lord across the nations of the earth. But there's always a purpose in favor. Look at Psalms 105, 16 through 19. When he summoned a famine on the land and broke all supply of bread, he had sent a man ahead of them, Joseph, who was sold as a slave. His feet were hurt with fetters. His neck was put in a collar of iron until what he had said came to pass. The word of the Lord tested him. The word of the Lord tested him. This wasn't a short 3-week process. This takes years. Joseph is in stocks and bonds in a prison. And the Bible says right here that his feet were hurt with fetters. His neck was put in a collar of iron. He was treated unfairly. He was falsely accused. And I'm telling you, in the dark dinginess of that cell, in those lonely moments, I guarantee you that Joseph probably thought that God had forgotten him and God had abandoned him. What was going on? The word of the Lord was testing him. Oh, I want a word from God. Oh, I want to hear what God is saying. Pastor, get a prophet here so he can prophesy to us. Well, I got to just warn you, the word of the Lord is going to test you. I believe in it. I love it. But with the word of the Lord, there's always a time of testing. Why does God allow us to walk through the test? Is it so he'll know? No, he already knows. It's so that he can reveal to us what's in our heart, attitudes and mindsets and things that will keep us from God's best in our life. And most of us, when he puts the pressure on, we squirm. We complain. We don't understand. What is God doing? The word of the Lord is testing him. God's favor was not just for Joseph personally. God's favor had a mission that went back to the original promise to Abraham in Genesis 12, 2 and 3. And I will make of you a great nation, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. This really wasn't even about Joseph. This was a part of the Abrahamic covenant that God had made with Abraham. The tests that I'm walking through is not just about me. The tests that I'm walking through are about generations to come. And it's about a promise that God made generationally. And I have to walk through that time of testing and endure until the promotion comes.
Lance Wall now writes, he said, favor is a magnet to the blessing and promotion of God. Favor, however, is always attached to a purpose and comes with a price. You could say that favor is on the assignment and not the person. God wraps a flesh and blood servant around the assignment that he favors. Favor always has a kingdom purpose. Favor is not for our selfish gain, but for the advancement and blessings of the kingdom of God. Joseph's entire journey was a testimony of God's favor, preparing a vessel that would be in the right place at the right time, in the right position, with the right training, humility, and authority to save his people.
He favored Joseph as his instrument to preserve the seed of Abraham and fulfill the promise to future generations in a time that drought and famine threatened to wipe out the entire region. But before God could trust Joseph as prime minister, he had to put him through Potiphar's training and through the prison house training. But the Bible said in one day, God turned it around.
Oh, he's the God of the turnaround. And in one day, he can turn things around. We're in a fresh season of favor. The man of God came and pronounced favor over this house just a few weeks ago. We have to take that serious. We have to embrace that. So often when we get a word from God, we just kind of stand around and we cross our arms and say, well, we'll see if that's going to happen. But we have to actively engage the word of the Lord. We have to enter in. The Bible says you take the prophecies that were previously spoken over you and you use them as an element of warfare. And you go back and you put God in remembrance of his word and you stand. And as you stand, the testing's going to come. The trials are going to come. The difficulties are going to come. What do? I have to stand in faith and continue to believe what God said in the face of adverse circumstances. And boy, that's easy to preach, but it's tough to do. I believe Joseph's a prophetic picture of the church and the season we're about to enter into. We're living in a measure of a modern day famine today. International markets shake and tremble. Nations are on the brink of bankruptcy and economic collapse under heavy loads of debt. Europe, smartest thing that Great Britain did was to leave the European Union. Brexit, brilliant. Get out of it. And nations today, $19.5 trillion in debt. But $19.5 trillion in debt, it's going to come to a point to where we can't service that debt if something's not done to get a hold of that debt. And it will take probably raising revenue, and it will take hard cutting expenses and cutting entitlements and those things that you can't do politically and survive. It's going to take leaders, true, genuine leaders that are more interested in the nation than they are in their own career. And I don't see a whole lot of that. Famine. That's the bad news. But God in his mercy is raising up his Josephs that will bring his favor not only on his people, but will bless the nation, city, and businesses in which they serve. God wants to place his people into businesses and give them creative ideas and let the favor of God be on them so that business can continue, so that business can be blessed. He wants to put us into cities and into governmental positions because we have the favor of God. This morning, there may be famine in your workplace. There may be famine in your health. There may be barrenness in your family. There may be drought in our culture, our education, and our government. And the Bible says in Amos chapter 8, verse 11, behold, the days are coming that I will send a famine on the land, not a famine of bread nor a thirst of water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. God wants to give you favor and make you an instrument of blessing. How does God demonstrate his favor in the life of the believer? What happens to those who personally experience the favor of God? What are the benefits today of having the favor of God in your life? Dr. Ronnie Floyd gives the following examples. Number one, those who receive God's favor also receive honor along with the promise. He does not withhold the good from those who live with integrity. God's favor will firmly establish the work of a person's hands. God's favor will help us endure tough times. God's favor protects the righteous like a shield. God's favor translates to great power in prayer. God's favor turns even one's enemy into unexpected allies. We cannot order God to give us the full range of his favor. We cannot manipulate him into a corner so that he has no choice but to grant it to us. But he gives us his favor according to his love and his grace. And God doesn't love Will or Amy or Eula or Bryson any better than he loves you. He's no respecter of persons. But there are people that God will say, that one loves me. That one responds to me. That one is pressing into me. I'm going to put my favor on them. But every believer, say every believer, is a candidate for God's favor. We need to declare it over our lives. We will declare the favor of God over our life. Pray that. And in your private devotional time, and I pray you're having a private devotional time with the Lord, I pray that this is not the only devotional time you have on Sunday mornings and Wednesday night. But in your private devotional time, you take that out and you pray it. You look at it and you begin to declare, I speak favor over every circumstance of my life. I speak favor over my finances. I speak favor on my job. I speak favor into every circumstance, situation, everything that I'm walking through, that I'm going through. I speak the favor of God into it and over it in the mighty name of Jesus. He gives his favor according to his love and his grace. By the way, the word favor and grace come from the same Greek word. It's where we get the word charismatic or charismata. It's the Greek word. It means favor. It means grace. So favor is just one aspect of his grace. If I ask many people today, I say, how do you define grace? We'd say, well, it's unmerited favor. It's the unmerited favor of God. It's the unmerited grace of God. It's, you know, we sing about amazing grace, and it's by grace we're saved. But grace is far more than just saving grace. Grace is the enablement of the Holy Spirit that empowers you to live the resurrected life. And throughout the scriptures, the Holy Spirit is known as the Spirit of grace. The gifts of the Holy Spirit, the charismata, are gifts of grace. The grace and the favor of God walk hand in hand. It's by his love and through his grace. The heavens are pregnant today. The heavens are pregnant with God's dreams of divine strategies and instructions to prosper us in a time of famine. The anointing of God is here for those who will humbly carry his grace, his favor, and his power without taking glory for themselves. The Lord wants his favor to shine on his bride in these days so that nations will come to his light. And what the Lord wants to do today is he wants to activate his favor on your life. He wants to activate his favor on your life. The favor of God. How many of you desire the favor of God this morning? I don't want the disfavor of God. What is the disfavor of God? Esau had the disfavor of God. The Bible said, Jacob I have loved, but Esau I have hated. I want the favor of God in my life. I want the favor of God over my decisions. I want the favor of God over the things that I embark to do for his will and his purpose. If you're in a hard season this morning, you're in a place of transition, you really don't know which way to turn or what to do, I would encourage you this morning to pray for the favor of God. Would you stand with me?